Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 76 at 21,674. S&P 500 down 4 at 2,425. NASDAQ Composite down 5 at 6,216. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 1 at 1357. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.19%. Oil up $1.64 at $48.73 per barrel. Gold down $3.30 at $12.85.20 an ounce. Stocks drifted lower into the close and wrapped up a pretty rough week. While the day's losses were small, Friday marked the first time stocks have not risen the day after a more than 1% drop going back to November 8th. So no bounce back. For the week, the Dow down 0.8%, S&P 500 down 0.7%, NASDAQ down 0.6%. With a decline of more than 2% for the last 2 weeks, the S&P marked its weakest two-week period since before Trump was elected November 8th. The S&P 500 closed roughly 1% below its 50-day moving average, the furthest below that key technical measure since mid-April. Today also marked the eighth straight day in which the NYSE and NASDAQ had more stocks making 52-week lows compared to 52-week highs. Stocks started the trading session in negative territory, then struggled into the green with a sharp spike on word that Trump had fired chief strategist Steve Bannon. That news sent up a cheer on the trading floor of the NYSE, but stocks drifted lower into the close. Even after Bannon's exit, it's far from clear Trump will tone down his rhetoric. His first instinct is to fight anyone who challenges him and lash out on Twitter, an approach that has pushed his approval ratings to historic lows for a president in his first year. Consider Trump's disastrous response to the violent protest at the University of Virginia last weekend. In firing Bannon, Trump has lost his chief ideologue, the man who channeled his base and advocated for the populist nationalist policies that helped propel Trump to victory. But he has gained an unpredictable and potentially troublesome outside ally who has long experience running a media organization and an even longer list of enemies. Sources close to Bannon say he's likely to go back to Breitbart News, the right-wing website he ran before joining the campaign last year. Whether this is good or bad or just chatter, it's another bit of chaos in a very bad week for the White House. From the Wall Street perspective, it looks like Gary Cohn and General Kelly won the latest round of palace politics. It remains to be seen if they can translate that into getting the legislative agenda back on track. Also today, Carl Icahn ended his role as a special advisor to Trump after facing criticism that his recommendations on policy could help his own investments, creating a potential conflict of interest. Meanwhile, the fallout from the president's comments on Charlottesville continues, following the statements against hate and bigotry from the Joint Chiefs and all the top military leaders. Secretary of State Tillerson also distanced himself from the president's position. Members of the President's Arts and Humanities Commission have resigned. And this statement, "I can't even believe I have to write this. Standing up to Nazis is essential. There are no good Nazis or Klansmen or terrorists." That comment, along with a $1 million donation to the ADL, came from Fox CEO James Murdoch. Oddly, there was no mention of Murdoch's comments on Fox News' site. Mitt Romney called on President Trump to apologize. Can you imagine that and a full eclipse happening in the same week? The U.S. has initiated an investigation into China's theft of U.S. intellectual property, or IP, using Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. What that boils down to is that the U.S. just fired the first shot in a trade war with China. China sees the use of Section 301 as an act of aggression because it allows the president to act against the Chinese economy without consulting the World Trade Organization. China's been warning the Trump administration against bypassing the WTO since January. And even though initiating a 301 investigation is not a violation of the WTO in and of itself, earlier this week, Chinese state media was alive with condemnation of the Trump administration for even considering it. That isn't to say that the U.S. does not have a legitimate grievance. Experts around the world pretty much agree China has a problem with stealing companies' trade secrets. But again, it's how the U.S. is going about doing this that is offensive not only to China, but to U.S. allies watching. Even without anti-globalist Steve Bannon in the White House, many in the Trump administration will carry on his ideology through policy. And all of this makes even our allies nervous about their dealings with this administration. And according to reports, they're prepared to fight fire with fire. China is ready too, of course, and they have quite a lot of fire. From 2001 to 2016, U.S. imports from China increased by a factor of 3.5, while U.S. exports to China increased by nearly a factor of 6. China consumes a ton of products made by Trump's base. It's the largest market for U.S. soybeans, 62%, airplanes, 25%, consider Boeing. Second largest market for U.S. cotton, 14%, autos, 17%, semiconductors, 15%. But never mind them and never mind any of that. You have to also think about it, what a trade war would do to the cost of things Americans buy. A trade war between the U.S. and China will not only hurt Chinese manufacturers, but also upstream suppliers and downstream distributors, such as U.S. retailers. If China retaliates, the price of American goods will go up, and the markets that were once open to us may start to close. Tens of thousands of students who attended Corinthian colleges, a now defunct for-profit college chain, could be eligible for student loan relief. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, as well as several states' attorneys general, announced a proposed settlement which, if approved, would require private equity firm Aquitas Capital Management to forgive $183 million worth of student loans that the firm helped fund for former students of Corinthian colleges. About 41,000 students could be eligible for debt relief under the agreement, which is still subject to approval by a U.S. District Court judge in Oregon. Corinthian colleges filed for bankruptcy in 2015 amid accusations the school used inflated job placement and graduation rates to lure students. In a complaint accompanying the settlement, the CFPB also outlined an alleged loan scheme of which Aquitas was a part. Through that scheme, Aquitas funded and purchased private loans with high interest and default rates offered to Corinthian students as a way for the school to stay in line with federal regulations governing for-profit colleges. For-profit colleges are subject to a regulation known as the 90-10 rule, which requires that they can't get more than 90% of their revenue from federal financial aid. In an effort to comply with the regulation, Corinthian raised its tuition beyond the maximum students could take out through the federal financial aid program. Oh, this was ugly. Foot Locker was crushed today, down 28% after the company reported a 6% second quarter same-store sales decline and a 4.4% year-over-year decrease in sales to $1.78 billion. FactSet consensus $1.8 billion. In an earnings statement, Foot Locker Chief Executive Richard Johnson reaffirmed the company's strong position in the premium sneaker market, said the company was hurt by limited availability of innovative new products in the market. Johnson went on to say he wasn't worried about Amazon.com. You might want to be a little worried. If you owned Foot Locker, you likely need something to soothe your frazzled nerves and lighter wallet. Maybe a nice cup of chicken soup. Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment had its IPO today, and it was ugly. down about 9%. But let's focus on the good stuff. It was a unique IPO, much like the Chicken Soup books. The initial public offering was crowdsourced. CSS Entertainment was the largest ever exchange-listed IPO completed under Regulation A+. It's an alternative to a traditional IPO that's favored by smaller companies, as well as the first to list on the NASDAQ Global Market. Now, this process opened up the offering to the general public. Whether the price drop can be attributed to the crowdsourcing or because the crowdsourcing pushed the offering to the maximum allowed, well, time will tell. Consider this a learning experience. But finally, something new and egalitarian in a chicken soupy kind of way. Bing is bigger than you think. Bing claims that fully one-third of searches in the U.S. are powered by Bing, either directly or through Yahoo or AOL, both of which provide results generated by Microsoft. It's true. I Googled it. Monday is Eclipse Day. It will be expensive. The eclipse will happen during the workday. Many workers will try to watch it. According to an analysis from Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, it will cost employers some $694 million collectively. The company did not even factor in the employees that might be taking time off to actually travel to watch the eclipse if you don't live in the direct path, and we're not in the direct path here in Arizona. Now, that does not include the cost of those glasses that you need to use if you want to look directly at the sun. And you do not want to look directly at the sun without those ISO-approved sunglasses. You could end up with something called solar retinopathy. And yes, it can result in blindness, even if just for a few seconds. So be careful. Rough week on Wall Street. Dow down 0.8% for the week. S&P 500 lost 0.7%. And the NASDAQ fell 0.6%. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 76 to finish at 21,674. The S&P 500 index down 4 at 2,425. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 5 at 6,216. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog with text, audio, and much more is at eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.